what he's saying is, like, I know that this is just going to, you know, be good. For, you know, the thing there, as it says in the Psalms, and then the problem, you know, the pit that the wicked are fallen into, the pit that they dig for the righteous. And that which they intended to be harm towards them is turned to their good. The God knows the ways of the righteous, and his eyes are always upon them. And he's saying, you pray for me, I'll make it through this, and it's going to turn to my salvation. Okay. According to my earnest expectation, which means intense anticipation, it's one word, and my hope, which is, the hope is really the idea of expectation, and anticipation is more like, more, it's just, you know, I'm hoping, I'm anticipating, I'm expecting that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, Christ shall be magnified in my body. At one point he says, you know, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. I someday hope I could bear in my body marks of suffering for the sake of the gospel. These are the scars I got when they beat me up because I said, he that is born of God doesn't commit sin. Or because I preached that by faith, you know, the thing is, in every generation, there's sort of like a sea change in, as far as like, you know, look, at the time of Christ, they were all walking as best they could, quote unquote, in the law. As Christ pointed out, they did not follow the law. According to the law. But, you know, there was like all this legalism going around and so on and so forth. And in the time of Paul, there was different problems. And today we have our problems. And they're sometimes a little different. Like today, in the time of Jesus' time, everyone thought they were righteous and they were trying to be righteous. They would excuse themselves and so on and so forth. We have something similar today, except people know they're sinners. They just deny that it's possible to be righteous, even though the whole purpose of Christ's coming was to make us righteous. Because that's how we were saved. The grace of God gives these things to us. He comes to us and provides us with the means to obtain righteousness. With all the means. In fact, he's the one who begins and finishes the work in us. It makes us the perfect man like Jesus. He's saying, my hope is that I'm not going to be ashamed in any of this. I'm never going to be ashamed of the gospel. God, let me never be ashamed of the gospel. Let me be bold, right? In Christ, magnified. Megaluno. Made great. You know, let my body serve as something to make Christ even greater. Because of why? Because of all the things that were suffered in this body for his name's sake. That magnifies him. And he says, whether it be by life, by continued living, or by death, or maybe my death would really serve Christ and magnify him. For me to live is Christ. I am alive. Christ. To die is gain. I die, I gain. You know? Because I'm going to magnify God in my death. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Meaning, this suffering I'm going through, I believe that's what he's referring to, is the fruit of what I've been working for. You know? To suffer and die. Or to just suffer and live. He says, but what I will choose, I don't know. I don't know what I would choose. Live or die, you know? Because I'm kind of in a straight between two. Straight, you know, a tight place. I have a desire to depart. The word depart, it literally means for to return. And it's used in a lot of different places, translated return. And it's used as the way you would refer to a ship pulling up anchor and leaving. To unloose as a ship weighing anchor. You know, like a ship lifts its anchor up. And I don't know. To me, that sounds like resurrection. Because ultimately, as I've always taught, and 1 Thessalonians will make that very clear, what I teach on this subject, and the teaching of the scripture as well, because all I teach is the scripture, without any sort of... All my doctrine is what I've been instructed in the scriptures, not by man, but by the Holy Ghost. And there, granted, there's man's stuff in it. It's the stuff that comes from this man. That's why I can lead you so far, but ultimately, if you continue to listen to me, if I continue to listen to me, as far as this study, this is like a captured moment in time. I'm 35 years old. 10 years from now, I might change certain, like the things I said about the church and the way the church is organized. That was just kind of by permission. A lot of things, in, you know, like Paul, when I talk, I don't always tell you what I'm saying by permission and what I'm saying by the judgment of God. But you have to discern that. You have to be able to tell what's from what. Because some things God hasn't revealed every single detail to me. As I go through these books, sometimes I'm like, interesting, you know. And I go through it, and I'm sort of deliberate, and I try to cover everything, but there's a limitation. But the word return, when it says, let your loins be girded and your lights burning, and ye yourselves liken to men that wait for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. So, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh. So that's the same word, return. So that, in that sense, you see how it wouldn't make sense there to translate that when he depart from the wedding and come to where he's going. So it really is not a big difference. Except, what I would say is, you know, you could say return in what sense? I return to the dust from whence you were taken. To be risen with Christ. Because, one of the nice things about death is that the next thing you know is you're raised from the dead. Because the dead don't know anything. Like, all the dead that are in their graves right now, in their perceptions, when they rise from the dead on that day, it will be as though they had just fallen asleep.